When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 344 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Charlotte Pearson. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Today, we are going to be discussing part two of chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Goblin's Revenge. So make sure that you've read that chapter and you're ready to argue your way through the details.
We're going
to
argue today, you say.
Lots of arguing.
We're fighting.
I'm going to fight you, Katie. Let's get it on with the rubber recap.
Say, why are you going to fight me? What did I do?
It's your turn, so it had to be you.
Got it. Guys, we're officially in the Moody Ron era.
We're
like in the thick of
not
it.
Not the Judy Ron, the
nope,
Moody Ron.
The Moody Ron. All of them are going through it right now, especially because they're taking turns with the Horcrux, which Hermione figures out is part of the problem, but they still continue to wear it instead of keeping it in that Moleskin thing that Harry has, like, because that would make sense.
It makes me so angry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
They talk for hours in circles about where to go next and where the other Horcruxes could be, and they're at the beginning of a very long road, friends.
A road of sadness.
A road of sadness and death and destruction.
What a trail. All right, guys.
Murder.
Ron is being Horcrux Ron, and he says, my mother, said Ron one night as I sat in the tent on a riverbank in Wales.
I'm so sorry. I just want to preface this part with, like, I actually think I probably would have punched Ron in the face if he said this to me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to like what I make you to eat? Or you're gonna leave. Sorry. I won't interrupt you again.
Sure. And here we go. He says that she can make good food appear out of thin air. So what is on tonight's menu? We have a lumpy charred gray fish. Sounds delightful.
Okay.
At least you have something. And it's protein.
True that.
Be thankful. So Harry immediately looks at Ron's neck and he's like, is it his turn to wear this Horcrux? And he does this because of the fiasco of Harry not being able to cast the Patronus when he needed to, right? And so, surprise, surprise, he's wearing it around his little neck. And he fights the urge, like a good friend would, to say some very choice swear words at Ron. Because he knows that Ron's mood would slightly improve if he wasn't wearing it.
Slightly.
I feel like this is annoying, period. And this is just intensifying Ron's mood. So he would have been feeling these things anyways.
Yeah.
Got Horcrux encouragement, you know?
Yeah.
I would not. I would have been like, you know what? Ron, I don't need your help wearing the Horcrux.
Yeah.
You're exempt.
Don't. So Hermione's not having any of this, and rightfully so. And I love her. And she snaps at him and she goes, "Your mother can't produce food out of thin air," said Hermione. "No one can. Food is the first of the five principal exceptions of Gamp's law of elemental transfigure." And he goes, cuts her off, mind you. "Oh, speak English, can't you?" Because he doesn't know what the heck she's saying. She's saying too many big words. And he's getting fishbone out from in between his teeth, if I could set this mood for you. And she's like, okay, let me take this down a notch for you. "It's impossible to make good food out of nothing. You can summon it if you know where some is. You can transform it. You can increase the quantity if you've already got some. Well, don't bother increasing this. It's disgusting." He's so terrible.
I would be, I am livid, and I'm, you know, didn't even experience this.
Katie, you're not livid. You could never be livid.
I have been livid.
She's about to be livid right now with you.
Yeah, I'm about to be livid for you saying I ain't never been livid.
It's a compliment.
Oh.
All right.
There, it's a
compliment. I'm saying you've never been angry like that.
Megan, on the other hand, gets angry at flowers. So you guys are just a match made in heaven.
Can we point out that Meg is like, oh, I just got distracted. Meg is all about, you know, her soapboxes, but I can't have my nacho fries one.
Oh my god. Here we go.
I can't do this with you guys tonight. We're on a time crunch. Yeah. We had some tech issues. I don't have time to argue about nacho fries and geraniums. We've got to just keep on. Constant vigilance, friends.
Constant vigilance.
Okay.
I'm just saying, as soon the whole, "Oh, speak English, can't you?" That's when Ron would have gotten punched. That is when I would have punched him in the face. I would have been like, okay, then. Well, I mean, she does say this, basically. Go ahead. Go make food for us, then. And shut your trap.
Shut your trap. Also, I love how this Gamp's Law comes back later on. And so a redeeming quality of Ronald Weasley is that he listens to the things that she says. Sometimes. Right?
Sometimes.
Takes them to heart. And, yeah, I would have flipped out on him. And like I said earlier, this is just intensified by the Horcrux. This is Horcrux Ron. But these feelings are real, and we see that later on when the locket is opened and he's the person that's going to destroy it. And it's just saying things. Voldy Soli Bit is saying the things that it's taken in from Ron that whole time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got very close to it. His insecurities got sapped up.
Oh, yeah. It just fed off of him.
Like some noms. Yep. And then it comes out later in a Horcrux vom, if you will.
Blah.
That was terrible. So Ron shoots back with that she's supposed to be the best at magic. Oh, I'm sorry. Boo, boo, boo. And we talked about this, I feel like, a little bit last time. So Hermione goes on to be like, yo, you can do the cooking. And I say that I'm the only one doing it because I'm a girl, right? And Ron's like, no, you're the one that's doing it because you're supposed to be the best at magic. I think, and when I think we talked about it, that that's true coming from him. I don't think he's counting on her because she is a girl, and that is typically a female role, is to cook. I think he's counting on her because she knows what she's doing, and he's always counted on her, you know?
He's counted on her for everything.
Yeah. So yeah. I do think that came, he knows her very well, and that came from a place of truth. Does it make you punch him in the face nonetheless? No.
Yeah. I know that the last episode, I think it was the last episode, I said that I did think that it was like gender roles. Mm-hmm. And I know I backpedaled it, but I just want to like reiterate again that I am backpedaling it, because I think you're right. It's just his dependability on Hermione, and like how she always, it seems to him, even in like the toughest of times, she always has an idea. She always has like something to make it better, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's someone that he constantly counts on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a hard role for her to have. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good thing is when he comes back from this nonsense, he does take up a leadership role. So it, he got better, right?
Yeah, he does try his best to make it better
right now
when
he's
comes back.
Annoying, yeah. Though. He's also very Team Hermione when he comes back, which is also annoying to me because he's like not thinking for himself and he's just trying to get on good side.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He annoys me in a different way, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So Hermione says, you can do the cooking tomorrow, Ron. You can find the ingredients to try to charm them into something worth eating. I'll sit here and pull faces and moan, and you can see how you shut up. Said Harry, leaping to his feet, holding up both hands. Shut up now. And Hermione's like, oh, no, you did not.
I would have too.
Like, absolutely not. But it's rightfully so that he says this, right? He's making sure that their protections work because he can hear voices.
How terrifying would that be?
I can't even...
It's been weeks. They haven't seen anyone else. And now all of a sudden.
I would have pooped my pants.
My stomach would fall out my butt. I would be so scared.
Yeah.
Truly. And the river's loud, but Harry can still hear them, but just barely. They have their sneakoscope out. It's not moving, so it appears that this is not a threat. And it appears that the enchantments maybe prevent it from moving. Because they are properly protected. So we know that these people aren't a threat. We also know that their enchantments work. So could it be both? Could it be one, the other? Who's to say? The author, but you know. Oops. So by the sounds of it, this group of people or beings are settling down near the riverbank. And Hermione is a thinker and not a stinker. She takes out the extendable ears from the beaded bag. They sneak over to the tent entrance and they can finally hear the people. And this group is brilliant. And I wonder if the trio did this, but they Accio some salmon from the river and they start to cook. Do you think that they did like the trio did that too?
No.
Because salmon ain't gray. So what are we catching? Are we making our own fishing balls? Yeah.
I like literally think Harry probably was waiting in the river and like reached in for a fish.
Like what fish is gray? I'm trying to think. Like
I don't know. I just keep thinking about Bridesmaids where she goes, "Did you eat some of that?" That gray meat.
That gray lamb.
That gray lamb.
Try the gray stuff. It's delicious.
It's delicious. Ron should take some advice.
Oh,
I do like the gray stuff, though.
Yeah.
Not the gray fish. Good.
So we then hear Griphook, Gornuk, and it is goblins. So there's a new voice that has asked, "So you three have been on the run how long?" And they answer, and they're like, 6 weeks, maybe seven, I forget. But I met up with Griphook in the first couple of days. And I just want to preface my section where it's a lot of dialogue, so I'm just going to be doing a lot of reading from the book, but it's all important dialogue, so just so you guys know before I get going. So they've been on the run for 6 or 7 weeks, and... this voice says, I met up with Griphook in the first couple of days and joined forces with Gornuk not long after. Nice to have a bit of company. What made you leave, Ted?" And Harry knows immediately that it's Ted Tonks, which this is Tonks's father. We know that he is Muggleborn, so it makes sense. So Ted answers and says, "I heard Death Eaters were in the area last week and decided I'd better run for it. I refused to register as a Muggleborn on principle, see, so I knew it was a matter of time. Knew I'd have to leave in the end. My wife should be okay. She's pure blood. And then I met Dean here, what, a few days ago, son?" And I think it's so cute how excited the trio get excited because they're like, oh my gosh, we know. We know him. That's Dean Thomas. Like,
I know him.
I know him. I know him.
But it's like they've been so isolated. So, like, not only now are they hearing Ted Tonks, they know that Dean Thomas is nearby. Like, they're not alone in the forest. They are all on the run. And it's so sad with Dean because, like, he truly just doesn't know. So we learn here that Dean isn't sure of his blood status. So his dad left his mom when he was a kid, and they just have no proof that his dad was a wizard. So he had to go on the run because he would have to show proof that he is half blood.
Dean and he doesn't on have it. The run.
Cute, Katie.
She's like, cute, shut up, I'm going on.
So then we hear, I've got to say, Dirk, I'm surprised to run into you. Pleased, but surprised. Word was you'd been caught. So that other voice that we heard was Dirk Cresswell. And
Dirk.
I feel like we talked about him really not that long ago.
Yeah, we did. Because of the ministry.
Yeah. So he works in... he was a favorite student of Slughorn. He is fluent in gobbledygook. He works at the ministry and eventually becomes head of the goblin liaison office.
He's the one that got
baked his family
found
tree,
out by Runcorn.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Weasley's talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Dirk was captured, and he was halfway to Azkaban when he made a break for it. And he was able to stun Dawlish and steal his broom. And he thinks that the only reason that that happened was because Dawlish had to have been confounded. And what?
Halfway to Azkaban would be an amazing wizard rock band name.
You're right. Ted then says, and where do you two fit in? Meaning like the two goblins. And they say... Or he goes, I had the impression the goblins were for you-know-who on the whole. One of the goblins said he was wrong. They don't take sides, that this is a wizard's war.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in hiding because they deem it prudent. And they refused a request and could see he was in danger. Could see they were in danger. My gosh, sorry, my notes were put the wrong word. So... this is so interesting because, like, this is going to be a bit of foreshadowing here for what is to come with Gringotts. So Ted asks what they were asked to do, and one of the goblins replies and says, duties ill befitting the dignity of my race.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a house elf. What about you, Griphook? Similar reasons. Gringotts is no longer under the sole control of my race. I recognize no wizarding master. So he's telling them that the Death Eaters and Voldemort have control of Gringotts now, basically, is what this means. And also, this is foreshadowing specifically for the sword being in Gringotts, but not in Gringotts. So right. The goblins are laughing. And it's because Dirk Cresswell is the one who, like, translates because he's fluent in gobbledygook. So they're laughing and they say something, and then he goes, oh, it's because there's things going on that wizards don't recognize either. And then Griphook also says that he had revenge before he left, which I believe that this is him lying about the sword being real. He told them that it was real and he knew that it wasn't real, right?
Yeah, he just didn't say it wasn't real. He
right.
Just, you know, so that omitted, like, the truth.
The revenge that he got before he left.
Yep.
So
that sounds a lot better than, like, how he says it. It's almost like he, I don't know.
Yeah.
Did something bad.
But it feels so good.
Right.
Tiffany! Yay, a Taylor reference from Tiffany. I'm so proud.
Mark your bingo cards.
So Ted goes, good man, goblin, I should say. Didn't manage to lock a Death Eater up in one of the old high security vaults, I suppose. And then Griphook says, if I had, the sword would not have helped him break out. Which there is confirmation that Griphook is aware that... Wait, Hold on, now I'm confused.
Okay.
No, it's not the real sword. He knows it's not the real sword. That's right.
It is not the real sword.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I was like, hold on, no, is it? No, it's not.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
Unwell.
Not okay. It's just like I haven't thought about this part of Deathly Hallows in such a long time, you know? Like, I don't know, whatever.
Can't relate.
I know you.
Just like, I read this part about 16 times so far this month.
Actually, just in 2024.
Last month or this month?
No, 2 months not ago. This month. 2 months ago, I read. No, that's a lie.
Half-Blood,
I read Deathly Hallows and Half. No, did I read Half-Blood only?
I think so. According to our wrap-up, that you only read Half-Blood last month, but that could be a lie.
Oh, I'm so sad with myself now. I'll have to change that. Anyways, carry on.
So Ted is like, Dean and I are still missing something here. Like, they're just confused. They're like, I don't know what you're saying. We don't get it. So Griphook explains a little. He says, so is Severus Snape, though he does not know it. And the two goblins are like roaring with laughter. Inside the tent, Harry's breathing is shallow with excitement. He and Hermione stared at each other, listening as hard as they could. So like, he knows they're about to get some freaking tea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you hear about that, Ted? Asked Dirk, about the kids who tried to steal Gryffindor's sword out of Snape's office at Hogwarts. An electric current seemed to course through Harry, jangling his every nerve as he stood rooted to the spot.
I love
this
part.
Is not information that they knew. And it's just, you can like feel like when you're reading this part, you can just like feel like the electricity of like how much they're anticipating whatever is about to be said. Like, yes, we need more information.
Mm-hmm.
I love this part.
Like, not only are they like, oh my god, the sword, because we have no idea where it is and Dumbledore wants us to have it, but also like, what, some information from Hogwarts, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And about Snape.
Right.
Well, and they haven't had any information about anything since the last time they read A Daily Prophet at Grimmauld Place.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. And hasn't it been, how long hasn't it been, like a month?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been longer than a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple of those.
So Ted says, never heard a word. Not in the prophet, was it? And Dirk tells him he heard it from Griphook, who heard it from Bill Weasley, who heard it from Dean, who heard it from Pavarti. Who
Shut
then
up.
Told one of the kids trying to steal the sword was Bill Weasley's younger sister.
Who dat?
Ginny.
Who dat?
So Ginny and a couple friends, we find out later it is Neville and Luna. So we've got the silver trio here working behind the scenes.
Bye.
They got into Snape's office, smashed the glass case. And Snape caught them as they were trying to smuggle it down the stairs. So they got way further than I would have expected, considering like magical enchantments and, you know, caterwauling charms and stuff like that. So Ginny knew from over the summer that Harry had been willed the sword by Dumbledore.
She's so cool.
She's so cool, right?
So cool.
Sometimes I really need to remind myself how cool Ginny is, because the movies watered her down.
Truly.
So much.
Yeah.
So she must have formulated this plan, and then, of course, she knows she can trust Neville and Luna, right? Mm-hmm. DA for life. And she's like, this is something that I can try to do to help Harry. I don't know why he needs this sword, but I know Dumbledore wanted him to have it, so, like, let's do it. So Ted's like, well, what were they going to do with it? Use it against you-know-who or Snape? Like, can you see that? Coming at Voldemort with a sword.
I mean, they do use it against him.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Yeah.
So Dirk says Snape decided that the sword wasn't safe anymore there. And a couple days later, after he got the okay from Voldemort, he sent it to be kept in Gringotts. And then the goblins laughed again, and they said, it's fake. Hengrip Hook says, oh yes, it is a copy. An excellent copy, it is true. But it was wizard made. The original was forged centuries ago by goblins and had certain properties only goblin made armor possesses. Wherever the genuine sword of Gryffindor is, it is not in a vault at Gringotts Bank. I see, said Ted. And I take it you didn't bother telling the Death Eaters this? I saw no reason to trouble them with the information, said Grip Hook smugly. And now Ted and Dean joined in Gornook and Dirk's laughter. Now everybody's in on the joke. Yay! So Harry's like, they're overhearing all of this. He can't be like, hey, what happened to Ginny and her friends?
Right.
So he's just like willing this into existence and they're just like talking about whatever or being silent. It's like 10 whole minutes. And finally Dean says, well, what happened to Ginny and the others? And Griphook says they were punished cruelly. And as far as he's aware, though, they suffered no serious injuries. Because, like, where would the fun of that be for the Death Eaters, right? Like, why not just keep it going all school year long with these rebels?
Right.
Well, I don't even think... I don't think anybody else knew. Like, or like, not knew, but none of the teachers were allowed to punish them, in my opinion.
You think that, like, news of what they did didn't travel amongst the staff? Is that what you mean? Except it for the people who needed to know?
Needed to know. I mean, if it got out, it got out. But Snape, in my head, would have said to the Carrows, for example, I'm going to punish them for this. This is my thing, right? And then, obviously, the detention that he gives them isn't really like a detention, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Because he's trying to protect them.
Yeah.
If he was really bad, he would have sent them to the Carrows like everybody else was supposed to for discipline.
Right.
Yeah.
And we find that out from Neville at the end when he's talking about the DA being like in action and all the things that they're doing.
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating, but now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
So they got lucky that Snape was a real double agent.
For real. I wonder, because I don't remember which one of them said it, but they said that once Snape got the okay from Voldemort, he moved the sword. But like, I almost feel like, is that rooted in fact or are they just guessing? Because it would be in Snape's best interest to like not have it be known to Voldemort in any way, shape, or form that anyone knew anything about this sword or had to do anything with the sword.
I'm not sure the real sword was in the case anyway.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think
protecting it from the Death Eaters to make sure that.
Right. So it was always somewhere else.
Yeah.
But this fake sword, which Voldemort thinks is the real sword and thinks that Snape is like watching over it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like if Voldemort knew of anything happening with the sword, it might trigger something.
Real sword, where was it? Why not Spinner's End?
Yeah, why not? I think Snape had it on his person at all times.
In his pant leg?
Yeah. Strapped to his leg like the wand was for Crumb.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
Oh my god. So Ted says, lucky for them, with Snape's track record, I suppose we should just be glad they're still alive. You believe that story then, do you, Ted? Asked Dirk. You believe Snape killed Dumbledore? Of course I do, said Ted. You're not going to sit there and tell me you think Potter had anything to do with it. Hard to know what to believe these days, muttered Dirk. I know Harry Potter, said Dean, and I reckon he's the real thing, the chosen one, or whatever you want to call it. Go, Dean! Sticking up for Harry.
Yeah. It's hard to do. It's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, like, we literally know that the Prophet and all of the Ministry is infiltrated and taken over, and they have a lot of say in the media, and we know what the media does to people, and whether it's for good or bad, and obviously it's for bad in this instance. It's tough.
Yeah.
So Dirk's like, I want to believe that he's the chosen one, but where is he? It looks like he ran for it. You'd think if he knew anything, if he knew anything we don't or had anything special going for him, he'd be out there now fighting, rallying resistance instead of hiding. Sir, he is fighting right now, okay? Like, there's things you don't understand. So he goes on to start saying something about how the Prophet was making a pretty good case against him, and Ted scoffs and says, you deserve to be lied to if you're still reading that muck, Dirk. If you want the facts, try the Quibbler. Which no one in the
such
entire
a weird
world
sentence
has ever said. To the point where Dirk chokes on his food when hearing that. He says, the Quibbler, that lunatic rag of Zeno Lovegood's?
Lunatic rag.
Mm-hmm. And Ted explains, it's not so loony these days. Zeno is printing what the Prophet is ignoring. Quote, not a single mention of Crumplehorn Snorkax in the last issue. And the front page of every issue says, any wizard against you-know-who ought to make helping Harry Potter their number one priority. That takes some guts. Mm-hmm. In the current climate, that's awesome.
Yeah, too bad it doesn't last.
It doesn't last. Mm-hmm. He unfortunately succumbs to needing to take like drastic action because he fears for his family, and it's I can't even blame him for that. It's
neither
tough.
Can I?
He's in a really awful position.
You never know what you'll do till you're in the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So lastly, just to round off this part of the chapter, hard to help a boy who's vanished off the face of the earth, said Dirk. And I want to say, is it, Dirk? Look at what the story you just told. Look at what these, to you, random kids at Hogwarts are doing. Mm-hmm. There's so much you can do without being out on the front lines. And that goes for a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
Like, Dirk in his own little way right now is helping people who are running. Like, they are a community trying to survive this insane world that is happening to them right now. That's helpful. Doesn't seem like, you know, you're chopping off snake heads with basilisk fang swords.
Basilisk fang swords.
But every little thing helps.
Yeah, it does. I want to bring up Destifer in the chat said, I'm thinking Snape duplicated the sword when he was told to place it in the Lestrange's vault. It would be the perfect opportunity to do it without anyone questioning where the sword was or whether or not it's the real one. So the only issue I have with that would be that Dumbledore left the sword to Harry in his will, and that will is like public record pretty much. since the ministry went through it. So I think since Snape knew that Dumbledore wanted to leave him the sword, he probably did it then because he knew the ministry would be coming for it. Mm. Or the ministry would refuse to let him have it. It's a school artifact. It has to stay there. So he needed to make some moves to make sure that Harry got the sword.
Bust a move.
True. Anybody else want to say anything about that?
I agree with you.
I don't know if Dumbledore necessarily... So Gil says, so maybe Dumbledore duplicated the sword.
Don't we know? But then how would Snape...
Then how would Snape know the difference? I feel like Snape would be talented enough to.
I thought that... Maybe
he needed to use it on the locket that night to destroy it. Mia says that too. I think that Snape duplicated it. Yeah.
Does Snape not tell Control us that C. he duplicated it in his memories or no?
Ask That's Tiffany. Not... She's the expert.
He goes over... Well, Dumbledore's portrait's telling him that he's going to have to make sure that however Harry gets the sword, it's got to be in a Gryffindor style, right? And so he goes over. The last thing we hear from him is, don't worry, Dumbledore, I have a plan. And that's the plan is finding them in the pond and whatnot.
Yeah.
And putting it in the pond.
I wonder. This is just like a random little thought. But, like, the sword presents itself to, like, worthy Gryffindors, right?
Yeah.
Not to say that, like, you can't see it hanging on the wall. But, like, do you think that it let Snape make such a convincing copy because Snape was exhibiting such bravery? So, like, he Maybe. Was worthy of the Sword of Gryffindor?
Drink Yogi Coke.
Whatever, you. It's possible. As far as the timeline, oh, go ahead. What?
No, I was just gonna say I always thought Snape did it. I never questioned that. That's just interesting.
I think the timeline for it, honestly, Snape is named headmaster, after the will is read to the trio. So he either A, knew about Dumbledore's will because, you know, I feel like that's something that maybe Dumbledore would have left behind for whoever to find. The ministry obviously went through it. But ever since he got into the headmaster's office, I think as soon as he knew about it, he would have tried to duplicate it. Harry has to have it, right. And Snape has to fulfill his promise. His life debt, because Dumbledore could have killed him on that hilltop, to ensure that Harry finishes this and has everything that he needs. So in my head, as soon as Snape is like, this is in the will, I've got to get it to Harry. He's smart enough to know that the ministry is going to go through this will, because Hermione was also smart enough to know that the ministry was going to go through this will. And Snape is smart enough to know that the Sword of Gryffindor is not going to be handed over to Harry Potter in the current climate.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it would make sense to me that he would immediately do it as soon as he found out it was in the will.
Yeah.
But with what's from the wiki? Wording confuses me as possible. Dumbledore duplicated it.
I'm seeing just from a quick Google search, it seems that everything's pointing to Dumbledore having duplicated it.
Really?
And how would Snape know that what was real?
So
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense. I'm not
sure.
To me.
I'm not sure if that's accurate or not.
This puts goblins and their own skills and their own magic and their own knowledge lower than what Snape like or on Snape would be on that level with goblin made things. And Mia, I don't like that.
Mia, is that from like Dumbledore's wiki page? Because I just want to pull it up. I want to read it.
Justifer said maybe Dumbledore hid the sword somewhere else and his portrait told Snape where to find it.
Maybe. I mean, that I could get behind that, but I like it better if Snape did it.
That's just so crazy because, like, literally, like I said, like I never questioned, like I always just assumed it was Snape.
Like, can you imagine us getting back from the cave? Everything is swimmingly. We actually get to destroy the locket, and he's like, "This is the real one. This is the fake." Like, are we really? I hate it. I want Snape to have done it. I don't subscribe to that wiki.
Harry Potter wiki says...
So, but it says here, it's initially citing the replica being created or acquired by Albus Dumbledore sometime prior to 97 from this chapter, which is strange because, like, that's literally not said. It just says that there's a copy. And then it says that the real sword would later be placed into a secret compartment behind the portrait of Dumbledore in the headmaster's office by Severus Snape. That happened in The Prince's Tale. That's the
right.
So that makes sense. But again, doesn't that, to me, that says Snape made it?
Because well, the real sword, please stand up.
Or did Dumbledore make it, put it in the case, and then
tell Snape to swap
But his portrait wasn't, his portrait doesn't hang. Is there like an empty golden frame behind the desk of the headmaster? It's like, just wait till you die. Your picture's going there. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are we doing?
In this section that I read on the wiki, it says Dumbledore placed an identical copy of the sword in his office because he knew that the British Minister of Magic would try to confiscate it and hid the real sword in a hole behind the wall of his portrait. Sure enough,
but his the sword is not there yet.
That's what I'm saying. No, the portrait isn't there.
But your portrait does have to be painted while the person is alive because you have to talk to it and give it your person.
Oh, that's true.
It does have to exist.
But we never see it, do we?
But what about like accidental death?
But does it have to be on the wall?
I don't know.
I felt like your portrait gets hung up after you pass.
I think that this is a plot hole.
I like what I said best.
Me too. Forget the wiki. We're right.
Yeah. I'm going to rewrite it. Isn't that a count? I go in there and change it?
You probably could.
I don't think we have a legitimate
like regular
answer.
Wikipedia. I'm going to put some teefisms on there. You guys can kiss my grits.
Yeah, we're going to go in there and change the info on the protection, too. Okay, so let's do lightning bolt round.
Please.
Dusty Fur, what do you think Ginny, Neville, and Luna did with Hagrid in the Forbidden Forest? Frolicked and picked flowers?
Had a picnic.
Jeez. Honestly, they probably went on a little stroll and talked about what was going on.
Truly.
They probably took Fluffy on a walk.
Fluffy?
Yeah.
You mean Fang?
No, Fluffy.
Oh. Catherine, isn't that dog like in Egypt?
What dog?
Fluffy?
Oh.
Didn't Fluffy... Am I wrong?
No, Fluffy's not there anymore.
I think you're right.
I mean, I maybe got the location wrong, but...
No, I think it is Egypt, isn't it? Or Greece. Greece.
Greece.
He's in Greece. This is a fun one. Michigan Mike asks, other than Harry Potter, what topic are you the most unhinged in a fun way, LOL, while discussing? He says his is probably zipper merges and traffic circles.
Zipper merges?
That's funny. Like how zippers merge whenever you zip them up and down.
Yeah.
Mine is probably Disney.
Not Taylor Swift.
Oh, unhinged.
Unhinged.
Oh, Taylor Swift, for sure.
100% Taylor Swift.
But
I don't
also,
know.
I do get quite unhinged with Disney.
What's mine?
I'm trying to think of mine, too. I'm tempted to just say cats.
It could be.
Yeah. Pokemon? No, you don't get unhinged. Nintendo? Zelda?
Maybe Zelda.
Do I get unhinged, though?
Very excited.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean unhinged, but
teaching. Am I unhinged or am I right?
You know,
both.
Or am I right?
Gil asked, what curse do you want to use on Ron in this chapter?
Avada.
I'm just kidding.
Tongue tying.
Silencio.
And use the tickle charm because he needs a friggin' laugh.
Oh, that too. You're right. It's not really a curse, though.
Oh. All right. Did I blow out some eardrums just then? I apologize.
Yowie.
I would use silencio.
Marguerite, what is the worst food you've ever had that could make you Ron like angry?
Corn dogs.
Salad.
Actually, no. Like, if I'm going to go, like, something, guess. Like...
No, go ahead, sorry.
Like, a meal I've had that was, like, the worst. I've had a pizza that was actually offensive.
Oh, that was bad.
Like, offensive.
Tiffany's is probably a banana. and orange juice with pulp.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the one...
steak.
No, the small, speaking of steak, the small bite of steak I had and spit out from Outback, that was bad meat and that Marty called them and yelled at them for.
Yeah, that's right.
Yuck.
What was yours?
I said salad.
Oh.
Let's see. Let's do two more.
Look at Cad.
I know.
No, look at him.
This is interesting. Dusty Fur asks, how are you guys doing the Deathly Hallows movies? Are we going to split up the book the way that the movies are and read the entire book and then watch both movies?
Say it again.
So you know how we do like the book to movie comparison?
Yeah.
Are we going to do Deathly Hallows part one after we get to the part in the book where it ends? That's interesting.
Oh, that could be fun. Know, I don't know.
We haven't thought about it. I kind of like that, though. I like the idea of splitting it up.
Are the events correct?
I think so, because it ends...
with him getting the wand.
Yeah.
Welcome to another unboxing.
And them getting to Shell Cottage, right? Is that the end of part one?
I think part one. Yeah, part one literally end with Voldemort holding up the wand.
Yeah, but like I'm just trying to remember the Dobby last dies. Thing the trio does. Yeah, Dobby dies, that's right. Yeah, maybe. I like that idea. We'll think about it. We'll talk about
it. Why do you guys want to hear me be angry mid-book?
Mia asks, did Voldemort order the cup crux to be placed in the vault at the same time as the sword, or do you think it had been in there for years already? I thought it had been in there.
That would be my guess. Where else would it be?
I know. That was my, like...
Yeah, Voldemort doesn't really have a spot to keep his things, so I think he probably gave it to Bellatrix to put in Gringotts back when he was still in power and Bellatrix was the number one person for him.
All right. That's it. Let's do... Kay. Oh, Discourse. Tortellini 1613, I like your name, said, is Dumbly's portrait there already at the end of 6?
Yeah, he's snoozing in his frame.
Yeah. And Vinny, Ron, and even at some level Harry's ineptitude with basic magic in the 7th book is a bit annoying. For the first books, it's fine, but at this point is a bit underwhelming. Like, they should know a little more. I agree.
Well, they teaching at Hogwarts. Nothing.
Trying to live to another year.
You want
to
learn something? You got to get a time turner. Take too many classes.
First aid? No, we're not teaching you that.
All right.
Maybe it's your turn.
Fan story time. This comes from Nicole. January 2022.
What up, Nicole?
What up, Nicole?
Megan. What up, Nicole?
What up, Nicole? It is January 1st of 2022, and my name is Nicole. I've been a Potterhead since almost the beginning. My 5th grade language arts teacher assigned the book for us, and I did not want to read it. But one chapter in, and I was hooked. I'm a Ravenclaw, which I totally agree with because I am eccentric and creative, but I always thought I was a Gryffindor growing up. Same. My Patronus is an Irish wolfhound, and that is perfect because I am a crazy dog lady. I've read the series 100 times, or just about. but revisiting it with you is a fresh perspective, and I love it. I've never really gotten into any sort of group or clique, but the Harry Potter fandom has become my clique, and I dig it. I'm 35 now and raising my daughter right. She's a 9-year-old Hufflepuff, and currently we are reading Prisoner together. My husband is a total muggle, but he's very supportive. I live in Florida now, but I grew up in Amherst, so hearing your Cleveland references is such a thrill for me. Mally's is the bomb, and I go to the West Side Market whenever we are home.
Heck yeah.
Which, speaking of, we're going to be in Cleveland in March, the week of St. Patrick's Day, visiting family.
Woo!
And then she goes on to ask if we were going to have a meetup that week. And now I feel really awful because this was 2 years ago. We didn't have a meetup that week.
You did so. Not. You, guys, you didn't usually, miss anything.
We usually, like, literally don't read the fan stories until we're, like, on an episode.
Yeah.
We just, like, put them in a folder and then pull them at a time.
But she says, I would love to meet y'all and say hi.
I would love to meet you, too.
That would be fun.
I'm only on book 5 with you right now, and Umbridge is the worst.
Literally.
We all know an Umbridge. Ugh.
Thanks. You owe me a Coke, Tiffany.
No.
But I look forward getting into the darker details of the books now. Anyway, thank you, ladies, for making my hour-long drives to work so enjoyable and gifting me this wonderful revisit of a world I cherish.
You're welcome. Shout out...
And shout out to another fan of yours, Laura, for introducing me to your pod. Thanks, girl. I really think what you ladies are doing is awesome, and I know you help so many people. I'm sure it can be overwhelming, so thank you for doing it. Sincerely, aww. Nicole.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank
and you,
you
hear Fozzie being so excited
happy.
For you?
I can't hear him.
I can't hear him.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. Well, you can hear Phil losing his mind over here.
He's borking.
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 Nicole, you're very sweet, and you made me feel super special, so thank you for sending in your story. And I want to know if your daughter is done with this series now.
Yeah.
This is over 2 years ago. I have a joke.
You do?
I do.
What
type of drink does Snape hate the most?
Shampoo.
Drink, Meg.
Who is out here drinking shampoo? What's you?
Ew, I can't. I'm getting like an awful soapy tangy taste in my mouth just thinking about it. It would be Jameson.
Oh my god.
What?
James' son, Jameson.
Catherine.
I actually didn't even get it fully. I thought it was funny because of James, but I didn't get it. That was James.
That was really good.
Insane. In the membrane.
Thank you, BuzzFeed.
If you would like to follow us on social media, myself and Kate are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram and sometimes TikTok at @TiffSwish_flick.
I'm not on TikTok anymore.
Well, today you're not.
My handle exists. Who knows if I'll return.
I don't think we got a bingo.
No bingo today.
But wait, did we forget to reset the house cup?
I don't know.
We did.
I do not know.
Well, that's okay. For the next episode, we'll reset it.
Okay.
So
everybody wins.
Oh, we said it doesn't start till September 1st.
But then I changed it last episode, remember?
I do not.
Oh.
I do.
Yeah.
James Sorry. Is screaming. Well,
the end date would make the start date different, too.
Oh. Oh, yeah. It's not going to start again till September. Oh, okay. I get it.
Okay,
I get
I'm
it.
Sorry.
I get it. We have a month
that.
Off.
I don't even remember.
Okay, okay, okay. I got you.
Thanks, Mia, for knowing my life.
What is this episode for?
This episode is for...
Caitlin Brandon,
the Sword of Gryffindor,
left our apartment halfway through.
Poor things. They just wanted some snacks that wouldn't expire because they don't have a fridge.
They don't have power right now. And Kayla was like, can I steal some cereal so that Brandon can have cereal in the morning?
And of course it's like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
They were trying though.
Yeah.
Sorry, kid.
I'm sorry, I cut off what you actually said.
I was going to say for TED Talks, because R.I.P. No, Dean doesn't die.
Oh, you're right. He doesn't.
Dean thrives. He Deanin'.
All right.
He Deanin'. All right, we're gonna end this. So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.